Harper Audio presents Farewell Waltz by Milan Kundera. Translated from the French by Aaron Asher. Performed by Richmond Hoxie. First Day. 1. Autumn has arrived, and the trees are turning yellow, red, brown. The small spa town in its pretty valley seems to be surrounded by flames. Under the colonnades, women come and go to lean over the mineral springs. These are women unable to bear children, and hoping to gain fertility from the thermal waters. Men are far fewer among those taking the waters here, though some are to be seen, for beyond their gynecological virtues, the waters are apparently good for the heart. Even so, for every male there are 9 female patients, and this infuriates the unmarried young nurse who is in charge of the pool used by the women being treated for infertility. Rougena was born in the town, and her father and mother still live there. Would she ever escape from this place, from this dreadful multitude of women? It is Monday, toward the end of her work shift. Only a few more overweight women to wrap in sheets, put to bed, dry the faces of, and smile at. Are you going to make that phone call or not? 2 of her colleagues keep asking her. One is 40-ish and buxom, the other younger and thin. Why wouldn't I? Says Rougena. Then do it, don't be afraid, the 40-ish one responds, leading her behind the changing room cubicles to where the nurses have their wardrobe, table, and telephone. You should call him at home, the thin one remarks wickedly, and all 3 giggle. The theater number is the one I know, says Rougena when the laughter has subsided. 2. It was an awful conversation. As soon as he heard Rougena's voice on the phone, he was terrified. Women had always frightened him, even if none of them had ever believed him when he announced this, considering it a flirtatious joke. How are you? He asked. Not very well, she replied. What's the matter? I have to talk to you, she said pathetically. It was exactly the pathetic tone he had been anticipating with terror for years. What? He said in a choked voice. She repeated, I absolutely have to talk to you. What's the matter? Something that affects both of us. He was unable to speak. After a moment, he repeated, What's the matter? I'm 6 weeks late. Trying hard to control himself, he said, It's probably nothing. That sometimes happens, and it doesn't mean anything. No, this time it's definite. It's not possible. It's absolutely impossible. Anyway, it can't be my fault. She was upset. What do you take me for, if you please? He was afraid of offending her because he was suddenly afraid of everything. No, I'm not trying to insult you. That's stupid. Why would I want to insult you? I'm only saying that it couldn't have happened with me. That you've got nothing to worry about, that it's absolutely impossible. Physiologically impossible. In that case, it's no use talking, she said, increasingly upset. Pardon me for disturbing you. He worried she might hang up on him. No, not at all. You were quite right to phone me. I'll be glad to help you, that's certain. Everything can certainly be arranged. What do you mean, arranged? He was flustered. He didn't dare call the thing by its real name. Well, you know, arranged. I know what you're trying to say, but don't count on it. Forget that idea. I'd never do it, even if I have to ruin my life. Again, he was paralyzed by fear, but this time he timidly took the offensive. Why did you phone me if you don't want me to talk? Do you want to discuss it with me, or have you already made up your mind? I want to discuss it with you. I'll come to see you. When? I'll let you know. All right. Well, see you soon. See you soon. He hung up and returned to his band in the small auditorium. "Gentlemen, the rehearsal's over," he said. "I can't do any more right now."